Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I want to review a little bit. Last week, you know, the last couple of podcasts, we were looking at some current events. Everybody's talking about the coronavirus, of course. And why, you know, the part of the review of what I want to say is what we see that God says about not fearing whatever we may go through, particularly if we have faith in God and we're looking to God and His promises, but also what we're to do as we go through this crisis and other crises that we know will continue to be coming our way in these last days, in these exciting but a little bit scary prophetic times, I think, that we're living in. Now, I remember Y2K, as many of you probably do, the turn of the millennium, which, of course, there was an awful lot of jittery people and a lot of fear and concern about the future. And as we know, Y2K turned out to be pretty much of a nothing burger. And I think a lot of people thought the same thing, that this coronavirus might also turn out to not be that big of a deal. But we see that it is a pandemic. It is real. People are dying. And we do need to be safe as we can be, careful as we can be. But as believers, we also need to not fear. And as I say, we need to be out there sharing our faith as people consider eternity, as they consider, is there more than this life? You know, where do I go with all of my concerns and my anxieties and worries? And of course, we should be responding by carrying out what Christ referred to, or the Bible refers to, as the Great Commission, when he sent out his disciples in the first century, in the early church, that is, and also throughout history, we still have that Great Commission to go and preach the gospel. reviewing, I also want to go back to an article that I quoted from before, gotquestions.org. What signs indicate that the end times are approaching? And I think there's some pertinent ideas and thoughts that I wanted to share here. Okay, some interpreters point to every earthquake, every political upheaval, and every attack on Israel as a sure sign that the end times are rapidly approaching. While the events may signal the approach of the last days, they are not necessarily indicators that the end times have arrived. The Apostle Paul warned that the last days would bring a marked increase in false teaching. We'll see a little bit more about that probably in next week's podcast as it relates to what's going on with coronavirus and some of the people who are speaking out, some of the false brethren and some of the strange things that they've been saying. But in general, Matthew 24:4, Jesus said that his disciples asked what would be the sign of his coming, you know, what would be the signs before he returned. And the very first thing he stressed, of course, in Matthew 24:4, we said, beware lest any man deceive you. So this is the Apostle Paul warned also that the last days would bring a marked increase in false teaching. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. 1 Timothy 4:1. The last days are described as perilous times because of the increasingly evil character of man and people who actively oppose the truth. Other possible signs would include a rebuilding of a Jewish temple in Jerusalem, increased hostility toward Israel, and advances toward a one-world government. The most prominent sign of the end times, however, is the nation of Israel. And then moving on into the last paragraph of the article, with these signs in mind, we can be wise and discerning in regard to the expectation of the end times. We should not, however, interpret any of these singular events as a clear indication of the soon arrival of the end times. God has given us enough information that we can be prepared, and that is what we are called to be as our hearts cry out, come, Lord Jesus. And of course, you know, I do believe we're drawing close to the return of the Lord, and I do believe in the imminent return of Christ for his church, but we can't be setting dates. And we can't, and we have to, and really, I will be quoting a little bit, if I have time this week, from an informative video that Mark Hitchcock put out concerning some of these very issues. But for now, concerning earthquakes that I just mentioned from that article. You know how every new earth or every interpret some people point to every earthquake as a sign. Well, in that regard, I you know there's been a couple earthquakes that as I was preparing these lessons over the last week or so, there have been a couple earthquake events that I want to bring up. One is from Reuters news agency. It says Russia lifts tsunami warning after a 7.5 quake off Kuril Islands. Russian authorities lifted a tsunami warning in the Pacific Far East on Wednesday after a 7.5 magnitude earthquake struck off the coast of the Kuril Islands. Meteorology authorities in Japan issued no tsunami alerts while U.S. authorities canceled a warning for Hawaii. The U.S. Pacific Tsunami Warning Center said the U.S. West Coast, Alaska, and Canada's British Columbia face no tsunami danger from the quake, though some U.S. Coastal areas may experience non-damaging sea level changes. And then the Japan Meteorological Association also said there might be slight tidal changes, but said no warnings or even watch advisory has been issued. Now, I just want to remind you that in 2011 and in 2012, there were a couple of quakes, big quakes, that did bring tsunamis. And I remember the 2011 9.0 earthquake and tsunamis that are in Japan, which, of course, damaged the nuclear reactors and brought a tremendous amount of concern. And then in 2012 in Indonesia, there was an 8.6 to 9 earthquake. I don't remember the exact Richter scale on that, but also I believe there were tsunamis as well. Now, I'll bet you the people, a lot of people that were living at that time were thinking, hey, are we in the Great Tribulation? Hey, are is this the end of the world? And that kind of thing that comes to people's mind. And of course, those were much larger quakes that did entail tsunamis than this event that just happened in Russia. So, you know, I find that, of course, interesting. And I think the point maybe that if I was to title my what I was going to share with you today, I might say, but the end was not yet, based on that type of situation where we see tremendous events taking place. 9.0 earthquake is staggering. It's just beyond. And yet the end was not yet. So it's just sort of a thing to keep in mind that as we see these things taking place, these pandemics and earthquakes and all the different kind of things going on, that the end is not yet. And again, I'll say a little bit from Mark Hitchcock's thoughts about that in a few minutes. Now, these were the worst earthquakes that I have seen in my lifetime, and I spent 20 years in Southern California. The worst there that I experienced was a 6.7, but, you know, just as a point of reference of just how big the Japanese and the Indonesian quakes were. But even this 7.5 was bigger than anything I went through, thank the Lord. Now, the second article I want to share with you is from, it says, earthquake hits Idaho. This is from Breaking Israel News. Earthquake hits Idaho, and another shaker hits Yellowstone, and officials say, nothing to see over here. And in this article, it describes something which had, of course, happened around April 1st, which this is not an April Fool's joke, but this was something that happened in Idaho, which, of course, is fairly close to Yellowstone, and that's so why there was a big concern, since this was a huge earthquake by Idaho standards. A 2.6 magnitude earthquake with its epicenter about 5.5 miles from Yellowstone shook Idaho on Tuesday afternoon. A more significant 6.5 magnitude earthquake shook a region in Idaho about 300 miles away at around 5 p.m. Weather.com reported that this might have been the second strongest earthquake in Idaho on record. The tremor was felt all across the Pacific Northwest and parts of Canada, and some damage was reported. About 30 minutes after the main quake, a 4.8 magnitude aftershock was reported to the southeast. There were more than a half dozen aftershocks in the hours following the main quake. At least one resident was feeling tested by the universe. Well, The universe won't test you, but the Lord certainly will test you. If you know the Lord, you will go through some testings. If you don't know the Lord, then about all you have to trust in is in the universe. So good luck with that. But I would say that this resident, you know, what I would say to him is you haven't seen anything yet, because there are many things going to be coming down the road, as we know, according to the book of Revelation and other prophetic writings that the Lord has given to us. It says, to make matters even worse, while the earth was shaking in nearby Idaho, hail, thunderstorms, and strong winds across the state border in Richland, Washington, culminated in a rare tornado. Some experts feel the need to proactively suppress any conjecture the earthquakes near the world's most worrisome seismic hotspot. Dr. Lucy Jones, a U.S. Geological Survey and a visiting research associate at the Seismological Laboratory at Caltech, tweeted out that the relatively large 6.5 magnitude quake was distant from the caldera, you know, there the volcano caldera there in Yellowstone, and therefore not a cause for concern. It should be noted that there have been 8 earthquakes at Yellowstone in the last 3 days, ranging in intensity from 1.5 to 2.9 magnitude. Yellowstone is seismically active and has about 300 to 3,000 earthquakes a year, but most aren't actually felt. The United States Geological Survey agreed that the Idaho earthquake was not a cause for concern about a globe-threatening Yellowstone super eruption, but the USGS gave a scientific reason that will probably be disconcerting to the average layman. The Idaho quake was too big to signal a Yellowstone eruption. The Yellowstone caldera is listed as the most dangerous supervolcano in existence, and as such, is the most monitored volcano in the world. A Yellowstone super eruption would disrupt electronics and endanger human health in Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, and affect other parts of the country. Moreover, a month-long super eruption could affect the global climate for several years. The large spew of ash into the atmosphere would block out sunlight, resulting in an artificially long and intense winter worldwide, inhibiting agriculture and leading to global starvation. Now, that's a little gloom and doom there, what I find interesting in my studies of the occults and the occult and the New Age, what have you, channelers, of course, that there have been many psychics who have, of course, predicted that would be such great earth changes, is the term, the New Age term, for what we might call the birth pangs that God speaks of in Matthew and in the book of Revelation, etc., during the tribulation times. And some of these psychics, of course, I would never put my trust in a psychic, in no way. They are the equivalent of false prophets, of course. But it's interesting to me that many psychics like Edgar Cayce and others have predicted earth changes and even have put out maps which showed the United States in such a condition where much of the western United States is nothing more than a few islands popped up in water as a result of these tremendous earth changes, which, of course, one might think could have come from a super volcano eruption, right? There is tremendous potential and power there in the Yellowstone area. I just find it interesting that so many predict these things. And I think, you know, the devil being the deceiver that he is, as he has studied the earth and human beings all these years, I'm sure that he would like to try to give information to a psychic via the channeling experience, wherein he might try to make a self-fulfilling prophecy. In other words, if the devil can make psychics as credible as possible, people will be more inclined to listen to their message, which of course is an antichrist message, which will keep them from salvation. And so the fact that there is this geological phenomenon out there at Yellowstone would be something that the devil might look and say, hey, let's say there's going to be these great earth changes that are coming someday and all this terrible things that are going to be happening, and let's just have our psychic predict that earth changes are going to hit and just wipe out most of the West and maybe tied to a super volcano, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, that way, if it ever happened, then that psychic would have a lot of credibility for whoever was left standing down here on Earth. But anyway, I digress. this is, but this is how it works. The devil uses psychics who are usually 30% or less accurate. And of course, the mark of a true Bible prophet in the Old Testament was 100% accuracy, or they had a rock party, otherwise known as stoning. So it didn't pay to be a false prophet back in the day. And it does pay apparently today, because a lot of people make money off of New Age and occult and cultic activities, teachings, etc., that tickle people's ears. But anyway, the interest in this stuff is pretty phenomenal. And as we see these things taking place, the point I guess I'm making is, because there's an earthquake here and a tsunami there, etc., that doesn't mean, oh, it's the end or we're in Armageddon. It just means that you're going to be seeing more and more of these type of things, because I think the real birth pangs that are described in the Bible are during the tribulation period, which, of course, we're not in yet. And then the coronavirus coming along, the Bible talks about pestilences as well in Matthew 24 and I think Luke 21. But anyway, let me move now to some of the comments that Mark Hitchcock gave in a very helpful little video he did, about a 6-minute. Mark Hitchcock, as you may or may not know, is a expert on Bible prophecy. He's a pastor. He's also a lawyer. He pastors a church in Oklahoma and is a key prophecy expert, as he's written many helpful books and writings concerning Bible prophecy. Now, he says in Matthew 24, 3 through 8, where the disciples were asking, what's the sign of your coming, the end of the age? And he said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay? For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, what Mr. Hitchcock says is that many people who try to interpret Revelation, the book of Revelation and prophecy, for instance, many people see this as a past event, something that's already taken place in 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed, etc. And this is what's known as the preterist view, or the view that this stuff has already happened in the past. Now, others see this as the present, you know, things that we're seeing today. You know, like I said, somebody might say, oh, we must be in the tribulation because, wow, we have a pandemic and we have, man, all these bad earthquakes or what have you. Okay. Well, Hitchcock says he doesn't hold to neither past nor present, but rather the future. That is, you know, because he is a futurist, and I am as well, he believes that the events of Matthew 24, 3 through 8 and Luke 21, 10 through 11 are yet future, and they haven't taken place yet. He says when you read Matthew 24, it is often referred to as the mini apocalypse, or the little, you know, apocalypse, mini, little, right? It's like the summarized version of the book of Revelation. Revelation 6, 1 through 8, it has the same order of events as you would find in Matthew chapter 24, 5 through, Matthew 25. Let's begin there, okay? In Matthew 24, 5, Christ warned of false messiahs, false prophets and teachers. And then in Revelation 6, 2, it speaks of the white horse, which is not Jesus Christ on the white horse. It's the Antichrist bringing that deception that Christ was warning in Matthew 24, 4. And in Matthew 24, 6, it talks about wars, of course, and rumors of wars, etc. In Revelation 6, 4, you have the red horse, where it's talking about killing so many people that the red horse is coming to kill, basically, through war. And then in Matthew 24, 7, it speaks of the famines. Matthew 24, 7, there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. In Revelation 6, 8, the pale horse, famines. In Revelation 6, 5 through 6, it speaks of the black horse, which, and if you read those passages, and we don't have time right now, but when you see those passages, you see it's talking about food shortages, just as the famines are spoken of in Matthew 24:7. So you get the idea. It's the mini apocalypse. This is like the mini book of Revelation, condensed here, summarized, so to speak. And then finally, Matthew 24:7, it speaks also of not only famines, but pestilences. And in Revelation 6:8, it talks about the pale horse, which will bring death through the sword, through hunger, and through death via, you know, the pestilences and pandemic diseases, etc., and then even wild beasts killing people. So anyway, the fact that Revelation 6 is in the tribulation period, says Mr. Hitchcock, he says that some who see Revelation 6 in the future are trying to put Matthew 24 in the present. But since Revelation 6 and Matthew 24 are parallel passages, really, he doesn't see that the coronavirus is one of the birth pangs of Matthew 24. It is a pandemic, and it's bad, but he doesn't see that as being, of course, during the tribulation period, because we're not there yet. Not a fulfillment. This is not a fulfillment, the coronavirus, but it, of this prophecies, of these prophecies, but it is a foretaste of it, or a preview, sort of a foreshadow of what's coming, a precursor, let's say, okay? And the talk of one world globalism as a way to combat the coronavirus, we're hearing a lot about that. This is paving the way for the coming of the Antichrist. I truly believe that is happening as well. So these are all precursing type events. Matthew 24 events also are after the rapture. If you're a pre-tribulation rapture person like Mr. Hitchcock is, like I am, then you would understand that the we will be taken out of here before these greater events take place, these greater birth pangs, or as the New Agers would call them, I lost the word, I'm sorry. The birth pangs are the changes, the earth changes that many of the psychics speak of. Again, Satan always tries to counterfeit everything. So he has another term for what the Bible would call birth pangs. I don't want to go into any other details from what he had to share. It was about a 6-minute video, but it was very, very helpful. And so I just wanted to share that. Now, I saw an article that I want to, as I have enough time here, an article I saw in the recent newspaper. It was from USA Today, which, of course, is a liberal news media. But the title of this article was, Is the virus God's will? And of course, that grabs you and say, well, yes, this is God's will. Or, you know, yeah, if there's a God, he must be really bad, or on and on. You know, you get the idea, and a lot of the liberal sentiments here, etc. But anyway, I only wanted to throw out the title of that article just to say that when somebody says something like, is the virus God's will? I think that's like asking, is this fallen world God's will? Well, no, it's not, is it? God didn't create the paradise that was known as Genesis, you know, in the early chapters there with Adam and Eve and all, and made up a nice paradise for them and all. He didn't want this to become a fallen world, did he? But it did, because of Adam and Eve's failure, because of mankind's choice to choose to go in the wrong direction, which caused us all to inherit a fallen, broken world. So God did not he did not want this to be a fallen world, even though he knew that would be the case. He did not want that originally. So is the virus God's will? Well, God may use it. God uses things that Satan does sometimes, that Satan tries to use. He reverses them around. And he uses them for his own purpose. He's used, Jesus knew and told us in Matthew 24 all these terrible things that would be coming. He didn't say, and I think that's great, you know. He just said they're coming. God himself is going to bring the largest earthquake of all time. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. So some things do come from the hand of God, but other things he may allow, and certainly other things he will tell us are coming, like nation against nation and all these pandemics and earthquakes and all this. Kingdom shall rise against kingdom. You know, God doesn't say, hey, I want people to go to war with each other. But he does tell us, of course, that it will happen, that it's going to happen. And so I think with the remainder of the time that I have, I want to end on, I want to say this. You know, the apostles and the early church, when they were with Christ, they were actually at the start of the church age, obviously. And, you know, what tremendous privilege, right, to be walking with Jesus, to see Jesus, etc. But you know what? Maybe we're going to be the ones who are with him at the end of the church age, at the rapture, the blessed hope that we have as we look for his imminent return. You know, the rapture is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. I believe it's imminent. I believe he's coming soon, and I think we need to be looking up. So I'd like to end on a positive note here, though, that this is again from What Does the Bible Say About Pandemic Diseases from the Got Questions site. And the last paragraph here, how should Christians respond to pandemic diseases? First, do not panic. God is in control. The Bible says the equivalent of do not fear over 300 times. I mentioned that before in an earlier podcast. Second, be wise. Take reasonable steps to avoid exposure to the disease and to protect and provide for your family. Third, look for opportunities for ministry, as I mentioned before about getting out the Great Commission. Often when people are fearful for their lives, they are more willing to have conversations about eternity. Be bold and compassionate in your sharing of the gospel, always speaking the truth in love. And I would just add to that, if ever there was a time to be studying Bible prophecy, that's 30% of the Bible, something like 20 to 30%, or 25 to 30% of the Bible is prophecy. Now, why in the world would probably most Christians have no interest in prophecy? Maybe this coronavirus, or maybe another 9-point earthquake, maybe that'll shake some folks into saying, hey, let's just see what God says about the future. I don't get it. I don't understand. I do know why a lot of people don't. Sometimes there are people who don't really know God that are going to churches. But there are plenty of reasons, and I won't get into that now. I will be doing a series farther down, many podcasts from now, on prophetic cults and, you know, what I believe is an accurate look at prophecy compared to prophetic cults, and go into some of the reasons why people aren't interested in prophecy. But, you know, I just think it's important for us to study to so that we can tell people, warn them what's coming, warn them that the Great Tribulation is coming, warn them, flee the wrath to come. God is love, but God is just. God will judge, but God has also already judged Christ in our place. So we need to be ready and ready to share the gospel and ready to not fear, because we can be children of God and not have to fear what's coming. God bless you all. I hope you join me next week. Good night.